By a quick show of hands, how many of you have seen a YouTube video about selective attention? It's the one with the gorilla. The gorilla video, selective attention, two people. All right. Well, it's a great video I'm about to ruin it completely for you. It goes something like this. And the video starts with a picture of six people. Three of them wearing black, three of them wearing white. And each group has basketball. And the narrative comes on and tells you that your job is to count the number of times that the white team passes the basketball back and forth. Now that sounds kind of simple, but you see the black and the white team with the majors first with each other and sort of moving around in a circle. And each team is going to be passing the ball back and forth to each other, and your job is to count how many times the white team passes the ball back and forth. And so they come back on the screen, they start moving around, the ball goes back and forth, they're moving around in a circle, and after a minute or so it stops, and the narrator comes back on and says, how many times did the white team pass the ball? And then it says the correct answer is 12. The white team passed the ball 12 times. And did you see the gorilla? 50% of all people will read that question and say, huh? And then the video rewinds and shows you in slow motion that in the middle of this video, as this group of people are moving around in a circle, a person in a gorilla suit walks out onto the camera, into the camera, into the middle of the circle that they're looking at, stretches their arms out like this, pins their chest like this, and then walks off the camera. And 50% of people do not see it at all. As if it never happened. It's what psychologists call selective attention. Our brain is wired in a way that sometimes when we're focused on one thing, we actually completely do not see other things that are totally in our line of vision. If they're actually right there in front of us, but because we're focused somewhere else, we don't see them at all. I think it happens sometimes in parshiyos like the one we're about to read tomorrow. If we open up Parshas Vayikra, and if we can follow along, we get very much taken by all the details of the karbanos that are presented to us there. We get wrapped up in things like slaughtering and sprinkling. Is it a cow? Is it a sheep? Is it a goat? Is it a bird? Do we slaughter it? Do we do malika, which I won't explain? Do we separate its members? Do we limbs, fats, burning, eating? And that becomes when we walk away from Parshas Vayikra. And quite honestly, everybody else is a little disconcerted. Because it's rather foreign to us. And it's rather far from our image of what Avodas Hashem looks like. And yet in these parshiyos, there are gurus. There are basic lessons and values that are so clear. They're sitting right there. But if we don't know what to look for them, we often don't see them. When a Nasi, the leader, when the king makes a mistake, does something he's not supposed to do accidentally, and admits it, here's what he has to do. Stop it. Kings make mistakes. Kings admit their mistakes? Do we recognize how radical a statement that is in the ancient world? Kings are divine. Kings don't make mistakes in the rest of the world. In the Torah, not only do they, but the Torah tells us, here's what you do when your king makes a mistake. And I got news for you. It's not just the ancient world. How many of you are following the political scene today, at least to some degree. Anybody else? Some. How many times do we hear political candidates on either side of the spectrum talking about the mistakes they've made? Maybe Hillary Clinton talked a little bit about the mistakes she made with emails, right? But that's because she had no choice. We simply don't do it. June 2nd, 2015. Luciano Fontana is a newspaper reporter for an Italian newspaper did an interview with Vladimir Putin, the Russian president. He asked him the following, one last question, what do you consider a mistake that you would never want to make again? Putin responded, I'll be quite frank with you, I cannot recollect anything of the kind. By the grace of God, I have nothing to regret in my life. Leaders today continue not to admit mistakes. Yet the Torah says something very different. The Torah gives you instructions for what to do when one does. But you see the gerilla. No, there wasn't somebody in the suit behind me, that wasn't very funny. The gorilla in the passage is as follows. Every other time the Torah talks about somebody who sins, it starts the pasuk with im, if. If somebody messes up, here's what they do. If all the people mess up, here's what they do. If the going messes up, here's what they do. Comes the nasi, and the Torah says, asher. What does asher mean? Ka asher. When? Every place else it says if. When it comes to the nasi, to the leader, it says when. And by the way, the Gemara of Horeos is a little uncomfortable with this, but many of the Rishonim say it outright. The Torah is telling us that a Nasi, a leader, is more prone to make mistakes than other people are. Not only do they make mistakes, but they're more prone to making mistakes than other people are. Because a leader is somebody who's charting a new course, doing something that hasn't been done before. And yes, if you're trying to chart a new course, you're going through uncharted territory, you are in fact more liable and more prone to making mistakes. For things not going exactly as you imagined. And then the question becomes, what do you do then? Do you hide it? Do you cover it up? Do you say no, it isn't true? Or do you admit it? When you're charting a new course, when you're taking a school, you imagine that for a school it's going to be better over the long run to have block periods rather than 40-minute periods. And it's something new, it's something that hasn't been done here before. And you try it out. Do you say, hey, it's perfect, it's working great everywhere? Or do you say, hey, it's working great in some places, and in some places it's not? We need to fix it. We need to make it better. That's the question. And the Torah recognizes it. And in fact, the Torah takes it one step further. Rashi, the amazing Rashi in this week's parsha, says as follows. He says this word asher, which again sticks out to anybody who's a close reader of the text. Asher nasi efetah, says Rashi, paraphrased phrase in Rabbi Yochanan, a thousand years before Rashi. Asher nasi echata, asher lashon ashrei. Ashrei hador shehanasi shalom, notein li lahi kapara, asher gato, kalachome shemitcharek, azadanota. Says Rashi, ashrei. Ashrei, praise is the generation. Praise is the people that has a leader who's willing to admit their mistakes. Who's willing to admit the things they did accidentally wrong, and all the more so the things they did intentionally wrong. How great are the people who can benefit from such a leader? How wonderful is Klal Yisrael that it has such as its value? Forbes magazine, May 1st, 2013, says as follows. So often in business, I deal with people who believe that admitting that they were wrong shows weakness or ineptness. The danger of that belief, especially when it is held by people in positions of power or authority, is that it backs a leader into defending their poor choices, even when they themselves have come to recognize they were wrong. These managers end up placing false blame on others in order to prove that they were right. They point fingers and say that someone else didn't execute as they should have, and that is the reason things went wrong. In their minds, they see this as a way to save face, or prove they are deserving of their power, or retain respect for their intelligence. Sadly, they don't accomplish any of those things. In fact, they accomplish the exact opposite. To create a culture and a people who respect their leaders, to create a society that's working at optimal level, you need leaders who admit their mistakes. You need leaders who can come to the base of Mikdash and say, you know what? I made a mistake. I did something wrong. Here's the korban that I need to bring because I'm going to do it better next time. Ashrei Hador. How wonderful is the generation that has leaders such as these? It was a radical message then. It's a radical message today. It was critical then. It's all the more critical today. There were guerrillas embedded throughout these parshios, and we can see them if we know what we're looking for. Good Shabbos, everyone.